Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Glad that all this is here so everyone's real close. Get my notes out. And it's red, so it's going to match my complexion the longer I get going here. Before I get started, I just wanted to talk about prayer for a minute. I'm not speaking on prayer tonight. It's just about 2 months ago, I was approached by another company owner who works in the same type of work I do, and he offered me a job. And like I was, you know, hem-hawing around about it, but I wasn't like too serious about it. And then I kind of took a look at where I was at in my current job, and I don't want to say anything bad about the old company, but I just wasn't happy. And it wasn't like I was not happy at work, but I wasn't happy. And like it started affecting like my life and how I dealt with people and my whole demeanor towards other people. And like it was a place where I didn't want to be. Like, I mean, it was bad. Like, couldn't sleep, having physical side effects, just not where I wanted to be in my life. And I didn't know what to do, so the only thing I could think to do is do what we've been taught since day one, and that's to pray. And so I just started praying and asking God, like, what do I do? Like, I don't know what's happening to me, but I don't like it, and I believe it's related to work. And so I started praying. I started seeking out elders and leaders of the church, people who I respected in the industry, and talking to them and saying, hey, you know, this is my situation, and laying it out. And they were, a lot of them said, okay, I'll pray for you. Even people who work in the industry, who I didn't know, I don't even know if they go to church, they said, I'll pray for you, you know. And it was like a kind of a sign from God saying, okay, yeah, this is what we're supposed to do, is pray about it. Long story short, 2 weeks ago, I started the new job. Things are a lot better. I mean, I can sleep now, and it's not as bad. So why I want to bring this up is because we hear so many times, like, we need to pray for people or pray for this or pray for that. But a lot of the times, and I fall into this category, I don't see the outcome. But this was vivid, black and white in front of me. Like, I saw the answers. Yes, I didn't get a lightning bolt and God say, go quit your job and go work over here. It was just like a gradual change. And over that couple month period, things started working out really good. And I believe that was God, you know. And so I just want to put that out there as a thing of, like, praise. Like, God does answer our prayers. And the second thing is, like, pray for the church. Pray for the members. Pray for Dave. What he did this morning, I would never want to do, would never think of doing that. I mean, that is, and with the execution, I commend you a lot. I respect you a lot as a person, Dave, and I'm not up here to, you know, put you on a pedestal, but I just want to let you know I do respect what you do for this church. And I want to encourage everyone to pray for Dave and pray for the leaders of this congregation, every one of them, because they put in their heart and soul. And I've seen some of their work behind the screen. That's just amazing for the stuff that they do. Bruce, I see Bruce come in pain, and it kills me because I know what that pain's like. We need to pray for Bruce. We need to pray for the members of our church that are hurting. I've had back pain, and I couldn't even imagine what Bruce is going through right now. We need to pray for our sick. Our spiritually sick, that includes me. I'm spiritually sick. Pray for me. Pray for everyone in this church. I just want to, before I get started, lay all that out there because it's really something we all need to think about. I need to think about, and I try to think about, and I try to pray. Now, with all that aside, would you open your Bibles to Romans 6? Romans 6, verse 1. And I'm not a very good reader, so I might have to stop and then come back, even though I've practiced these verses 100 times. Still be hard. Romans 6, starting in verse 1. If you preface this and you go back to chapter 5, the first section is peace and joy, and then it says death through Adam, life through Christ. And from that, we can kind of get what's probably going on here. Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? put a bullet mark on that, because that's Tommy's way of thinking 99% of the time. Just remember that. By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were there. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in that order. Just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so I get here and I read that and I think, what does that mean? What is Paul saying to us here? He's saying, because me, given to my own devices, I think, well, God gives us grace. I know that. I've known that since I was a little kid. So if I sin more, that's fine. We got tomorrow to pray. Paul's saying here, by no means. That's not what he's saying. And if we carry on here, I'm going to read it a lot more, so just bear with me. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. I get right there, and it just makes me happy to read that, to know that I can be freed from sin. Picking up in verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will always live in him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died in sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master because you are under the you are not under law, but grace. Whew, got through it. So what is he saying here? Because I've read this 100 times and I didn't get it, and then I think I'm getting it, and I don't get it, and then I get it. So that's as confused as I get a lot of the times. So what does this mean? For me, I have a very hard time figuring out where this line's drawn. And this is a personal opinion of mine, take it or leave it. But I believe grace runs out. I believe that without total repentance, you can't be forgiven. Without you wholeheartedly asking for repentance, you can't be forgiven. And I don't say that to doom anyone. I say that because I've had events in my life that were hard for me to overcome. That I thought I had overstepped that line. I had gone too far with God. I had done something so bad that I couldn't be forgiven. The unforgivable sin, it's called. I stand up here today knowing that God's forgiven me because of my repentance. So I want to talk about sin tonight, if you didn't catch on to this, because Tommy, he's good at that, you know? I don't want to get too far into it. But what I want to share with you is how I personally deal with it, how I ask for forgiveness. So I come here to Romans, and I read this. And then I go to Luke 9. We're going to read a couple verses, so if you just want to carry on with me. Luke 9, starting in verse 23. It says this. Then he said to them all, and it's in red writing, so we know this is Jesus speaking. It says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. So step one, I look at this. I look at what Paul's saying here in Romans. I can't continue sinning so that grace can increase. But then what do? Because I'm human, I'm gonna sin. I know that. So do I lock myself in my house and stay away from the world, stay away from everything, not do anything? Because then I know I can't sin if I'm sitting at my house with no TV, no computer, no nothing, just bread and water. Is that what I'm supposed to do? I go right here. What am I supposed to do? Deny myself. Everything that Tommy wants in life, Tommy wants this, Tommy wants that, deny all that, get rid of self, and take up my cross. So is taking up my cross, finding a couple railroad ties, nailing them together, and carrying them around everywhere I go so I remember that Jesus died for me? Or is taking up my cross, knowing what I did before I read Romans 6, repenting of that, and moving on from there? Step one to me is this, to deny myself. I've been forgiven. Now get rid of Tommy. Get rid of my selfish desires. Take up my cross and carry on daily. My next move is Matthew 28, starting verse 16. And this is the end of Matthew's writing here in this book. Starting verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but they doubted. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age. So, that's number two for me. Because it's hard. I struggle with this. And I can't speak for anyone else in this room. But I struggle with dealing with my sin. I struggle with it. It's because I'm human, I continue to sin. And then I ask for forgiveness again and again and again, and I repent. But I don't know what to do after that. Where do I go? I've been forgiven, but I know I'm human, and it's this revolving circle. And so my advice to deal with this revolving circle is to look at these three scriptures. I start out in Romans, where Paul tells me, don't keep sinning. I go into Luke and find out what I'm supposed to do. Deny myself and take up my cross. Lose everything. Into Matthew. And with that, after I've denied myself and lost everything, I go into the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I think, I'm not sure, maybe one day I'll find out when I'm in paradise, hopefully. I'll find out if that's what God has for Tommy. I'm pretty sure that's what he does. I'm pretty sure that's what he wants. But Dave asked me to speak, and he said, speak about something that's been on your heart. And as you can tell, this has definitely been on my heart, because it's a struggle. Those three scriptures have brought me a long way. they have had an impact on my life. That's why I'm still here. Okay. It's hard for me to say that in front of everyone. But that's what those three verses have done. Brought me straight from the bottom. And a lot of you know. A lot of you know the story. But I stand up here, shit, like a little baby. But I stand up here today to speak these words that God spoke, that Jesus spoke. They weren't just words. So how do we deal with sin? Well, I think I just explained how I deal with it. And I'm sure everyone deals with it in their own way. But from Paul's writing, he writes saying that we don't worship a dead God. We worship a living God, one that lives with us, in us, guides us everywhere we go. It's customary that at the end of each sermon we give an offering. Or an invitation, not an offering. That's later on, you guys could do it. Yeah, offer the invitation. Those were the words I was thinking of. But as my last side note, invitations are not a sign of weakness. A lot of times we look at them as that. When I see someone come forward, I, for one second, don't think, oh, that person, yeah, he's got problems, because you know who's got the real problems here. But when someone comes forward, it's a sign of strength. And when you feel called to come forward, I'm not saying right now because I'm not the person to come forward to, but when you feel called, that's that living God. That's that living God inside you saying you need to repent. So if you need prayers of the congregation, or you want to take on our Lord and Savior in baptism, right now is the time as we sing this song.